mouth. She wants to ride. She's trying. It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Make sure you're always checking out Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group. They believe in the human side of real estate. And we did not get to this earlier this week, but this is something that Joshy found, just kind of happened to stumble across on social media. And I found it rather interesting, but we had a Packers game on Monday night. They bleeped the bed, so we had to spend some time talking about that yesterday. And we're still going to spend time talking about it today. But I just thought, you know, we've been complaining about the Packers for more than 24 hours at this point, Chew. We're going to continue to do that, but just kind of break it up a little bit. I want your thoughts on this. Now, I know this is something that you probably don't have direct experience with because you do not have a Venmo account, right? Like, you don't have the Venmo app on your phone?
No. My wife does.
Yeah. Yes.
Zelly is another one.
Okay.
I believe it's just pronounced Zell, but you're on the right path.
It's funny.
How's it spelled, though?
Well, okay.
There's an E at the end.
How's it spelled?
Okay,
well,
which is interesting because how is Nike spelled and how do you pronounce Nike?
Nike.
And yet they're...
No, yeah,
how
yeah,
is it spelled,
yeah.
Chew?
It doesn't matter. It's just that's what it was called back in the day. Hey, that's a nice pair of Nikes you're wearing. And then they rebranded. Their rebranding is so big right now. Good and bad. It's the in thing.
Well, this guy needs to maybe rebrand his friends. So, the post reads, they were responding to a different post that said that tech has the fewest, not a great word, per capita. Politics has the most. So just trying to find out the most, you know.
Buttholes?
There you go.
Okay.
Per capita.
Tech?
And
what's tech?
Like a job in
oh, techies.
Yes.
See, you guys are not
the Facebooks, the AIs, the
basically anybody who lives in San Francisco, because that's where all of these jobs seemingly exist.
Are you trying to refute if those jobs are? It's an incredibly unimportant detail to this whole topic.
I would use a different word. They're very arrogant. There's tech arrogance.
Yeah,
you know,
we can move on because it was just a little detail. I probably didn't need to include it. That's on me.
Okay.
My buddy took a tech job in San Francisco out of college. One of his new tech friends invited him over for a steak dinner, which he was cooking A1 Wagyu steak. Would he like to try any? Anyway, after the dinner, he immediately gets a Venmo charge from the guy. Like, if you're inviting somebody, like, Chewy, if you invite me over, like,
yes.
Hey, I am firing up these great steaks on the grill. Gabe, you got to try these. These things are awesome.
Yes.
If I show up your house, now, granted, I'm probably going to show up with one of your favorite bottles of wine, especially if I know it's Wagyu steak, right? Like, I know that's expensive.
Sidebar real quick.
Yep.
Sidebar. Wagyu, so overrated. So grossly
overrated.
I've
never had it.
But you can keep going.
Don't waste
your time.
Okay.
Don't waste your time. Because here's the problem. People get Wagyu and Kobe confused. Okay.
And the Kobe
is legit.
All right.
Legit. Wagyu, overrated. Keep going.
But if I show up your house, like, yeah, I'm going to probably bring something with me, right? Like, I'm going to bring, because, again, we've known each other long enough at this point. I know the bottle of wine that I know exactly where it is in Discount Liquor. I would stop by, grab it, and when on my way out to your house, and then I would give you that. But I'm not expecting you to send me a charge for the Wagyu beef after I get home. I pull up my phone and go, oh, what's this? Oh, somebody's charging me on Venmo because he invited me over for dinner? Like, that's, you can't be charging people, right?
Well, I have the complete opposite that happens. Okay, we have good friends on the lake, Don Gadon, kind of a goof, but, and we've talked about him on the show before.
I saw your buddy, by the way, Jake.
Jake the Snake by the lake.
Yeah. He was up at the Tundra Trio on Monday, and
that's
he told the funniest joke. He said, I'm going to get Chewy up here one day. I thought that was the funniest thing that anybody had ever said.
Yeah. That was. Yeah, that is.
0% chance.
So I have the complete opposite where we'll invite them over for dinner. And then his wife, Venmos us money. No, for real. For real.
See?
You know, if we order pizzas or something, you know, which is whatever, wine here, you know, we're kind of a little bit of party central on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
In it, but you can refuse Venmo, right?
Yeah, you can turn down the money.
But you know what then she does? You know what she then she does? She goes and gets like Pick and Save or Sendix gift cards and leaves them for us, you know?
She's great.
So it goes the other way. It goes the other way.
But I would rather have it go that way, right? Like, you're not expecting anything.
No.
And she's just trying to go over the top to let you know, hey, I appreciate you inviting me. Like, I fought Venmo for a long time. I fought Venmo for a very long time.
Yeah.
And, like, if somebody wanted to pay me back, they had to pay my wife. Like, and to the point where we weren't even married yet, were, like, paying my wife because I didn't want to get Venmo. It's like, no, I don't want it. I just don't need to deal with any of this. Turns out it makes paying off bets on the golf course a lot easier, so I finally caved and got Venmo. But I have never once, even when, like, at the end of the round, like, if I end up, I'm playing with somebody I know. If they don't pay me right away, I'm not sending them a reminder to send me money. I have never once.
Or run a tab.
Yeah, exactly. We can do that too.
Yeah.
But I have never once used the charge feature on Venmo. I've never sent a charge saying, hey, send me this money.
I've only ever done it when someone said, hey, send me that so I don't forget.
Sure.
That's the time I'll be like, oh, I'll do it. Otherwise,
and honestly, I should have done that because I've got a friend. She got tickets for me and my wife, her and her husband, a couple other people. We're going to go when Garth Brooks is at Summerfest next year. She got tickets like 2 months ago, like when it came out. And I completely forgot to Venmo her until her husband texted me about something completely, you know, unrelated. And I went, oh, crap, I owe these people money.
That reminds me. I owe her money for concert tickets.
So I sent the Venmo right away.
That just reminded me.
Joshy, are you a Gen Z?
No, I'm a millennial.
Yeah, he's millennial.
You're a millennial? Gen Zs the cheapest or frugal or most cost-conscious generation that there is?
We've talked about this before, the bar tab thing where they close out every single time. I mean, I've got a Gen Z directly to my left right now.
Is that Will?
No, we have a different part-timer who's training to hopefully join us one day like Will.
Good luck with that.
I think there is a more cost consciousness for the younger generation. I think a lot of that has to do with like economics and more than just simply them being cheap. I think it's more about the reality of the world they're in than it is more about anything else.
But with it's different with people my age. But our understanding is everything comes out in the wash.
Oh, Joshy and I live in that world.
It'll all come out in the wash, you know. Everyone's, hey, you got this, so they'll get the next time and this and that. It just really, but there, because I'll go to, you know, lunch with my two boys. Well, actually, four boys. And the two younger ones will be having pops and lunch, and they'll close out tabs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just, they'll close it out, and it's my credit card. I'm like, why are you guys closing that out?
Just out of,
you know?
it's a force of habit.
Yeah, just a habit they can't break at this point. Just, I'm going to close the tab.
The thing about the dinner party is if you invite me to something and don't say, hey, I was thinking about getting A5 Wagyu, would you want to chip in so we can all experience that? That's okay. That to me is fine because, it is abnormally expensive. Now, I don't know the specific economics of this tech, bro. Like, if this guy's worth $100 million, you could take your $100 for my Wagyu and shove it up your, you know what?
Yeah.
But if, like, amongst friends, if we're doing something fancy or out of the norm, then, if we determine together beforehand.
We have covered, Josh, at length, I think, at this point, that you are hosting a Friendsgiving at your house. Your significant other has gone out of her way to purchase equipment to try to enhance said Friendsgiving. I can't imagine you nor Mussolini will be sending a Venmo charge to anyone who is invited to this Friendsgiving.
Not a single person.
Now, I'm sure.
We'll be providing the ham. We'll be making a ham. We don't want to make a turkey. Those aren't free. It's certainly not a 5-way goo. But you know how you also make that up in this situation is you bring your own dish.
Yeah,
and now we're all
bring a dish to pass,
and now we're even.
But if you can't afford to give somebody the Wagyu steak, guess what? Probably shouldn't be having
should be
having a Wagyu steak party.
All right, so you spark something in me. We're coming back.
Yes.
We're coming back for Thanksgiving, right? For the whole family, and we don't want to do the sides, so we're going to have the sides done by someone.
Like a catering company or whatever.
Like a catering company. But the turkey we're going to do.
Okay.
And that's my responsibility. How do I do the turkey? Because I threw out deep frying it, and I kind of got a, like it's beat down a little bit.
Do you have a smoker?
Is there, pardon?
Do you have a smoker?
A smoker?
Yeah.
I have made
the Blammer does.
Okay. All right, so you don't want to have to owe the Blammer for something by using the smoker.
Here's the problem, okay? Here's the problem. I don't know if I've ever told this story before, but when we're down here, the Blammer goes up and gets the mail and gets the packages.
Yeah,
well,
he's supposed to.
He has the codes to the houses. He's supposed to leave them on the kitchen island, right? But what the Blammer does is he holds the mail hostage at his house so he can get a drink out of
it, which drives
my wife absolutely crazy.
But look, I understand your wife. Okay, Blammer is an acquired taste. The Blammer, Chewy's neighbor up here, is an acquired taste. Joshy and I have met him. I understand your wife, not a fan. But she's got to be understandable of him wanting. I mean, he's doing this for you guys. He's picking up your mail. I feel like in return, that's worth a drink. That seems fair. It just seems fair.
I bring him back presents.
Can we be a little honest with one another for a second?
Yeah, absolutely. The show's all about honesty.
I don't think your wife's problem is with a drink. I would imagine it's the second, third, maybe
the fourth.
Yeah, but I'm the one bringing him home shattered. I never come home shattered, so I don't know what the problem is.
Because if we're being honest, Chewy is drinking the Blammer under the table.
But here's the problem. With something like smoke, Josh, how long does it take to smoke a turkey?
Six, seven hours. Yeah, you're going to need some time.
See, now that feels like
her
thinking is that he's now coming over for Thanksgiving because he did the turkey, which I don't have a problem with. Her family, there's only one person that has a problem with it. Well, maybe three.
But it's still a minority of people.
My boys love him.
Yeah.
Angie's family, minus maybe two, love him because he's just entertaining.
He's an entertainer.
He is an entertainer.
Yes, total entertainer.
He is an entertainer.
He's the sideshow.
So I'd love to smoke a turkey, though. And he's got a Traeger like you.
Yeah.
Gabe.
No, I mean, I have smoked the turkey in there before. I've done like a bourbon maple glaze with it. It is very good.
Should I say the hell with it and just do it?
I mean,
the Blammer?
I'm not going to be caught on record with recordings happening saying you should do
I am with Joshy.
Yep.
I refuse to publicly back you on this.
I will
in
not
fear,
incriminate myself.
In fear of retribution from you.
Okay, well then I need some other suggestions on what I should do with the turkey. You know? Because she wasn't blowing her skirt up with the deep frying the turkey.
Could you get away with, and would it benefit you more to purchase your own Traeger and do it that way, and that way you cut out the middleman of Blammer?
What's a Traeger go for?
Not cheap.
Yeah, it's not cheap. All I know is that Joshy and a number of other people chipped in for mine as a wedding present.
But you could do the sell job of, this will be great when we're back here in the summer.
So I'd have to tell her and not just do it.
Yes, this is.
What do they say? Ask for permission instead of forgiveness, or forgiveness.
Whatever the one is. Yeah, ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Because I'll tell you what, I went to Home Depot the other day,
mm-hmm.
and it was very cost effective. Because I don't. Some of the companies down here suck.
Are you going to tell on yourself right now?
He's about to.
Like the fertilizer spray that they put on the lawn. Mm-hmm. It's food coloring and water. Doesn't even.
So I do it myself.
But the problem here is they shut down the fertilizer because of red tide. So you can't buy it between X and X. So I buy it now. And think how much a lawn service costs, Gabe. Every application is probably $150.
Yep.
So that's times five, whatever the math is, right? So I went to Home Depot and spent probably $350, $400. It doesn't say on what. All she does is get an alert. And
yeah,
I've got
on, yeah, because she's got the card.
What the
app
hell are you spending at Home Depot? So once I explained it, God, what I should have done is just the hell with the fertilizer and just bought the Traeger and then just said I bought fertilizer.
Yeah, but if you say, hey, I'm buying this Traeger because it's going to keep the blammer away, look, I think she might buy into that.
You gotta position it as, we need to go to break really bad. But it's you have only two options.
Yeah.
It's buying a Traeger or the blammer comes over. Either situation here for you, choose a win. You either get to hang out with the blammer or you get to be a guy that has a Traeger and can smoke some meats when it comes time.
So do I pose that to... Do I pose that to her? Say, look, it's either the blammer coming over, I buy a Traeger.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay.
I think that's the play. All right. That's the play that you have in order to cook your Thanksgiving turkey. We are incredibly late. We do have Adam Schefter. We are going to get to Packers plus a couple of the texts responding to some of the things Chewy said on the Carpless Talking text line. Coming up next, but Cheez-It, the legendary snack cracker. It's now available as a frozen pizza. Each giant crust, original Cheez-It flavor cracker that's square-shaped. Of course, that's what it has to be. Cheez-Its are square-shaped. But it's ultra-thin, super crispy, and because it comes from Palermo's, you know that they are going to pair the perfect sauce and toppings with an original crust. So you can get the Italian four cheese, cheddar jack supreme, and pepperoni. And it's got a short bake time. You can go from freezing to cheesing in as few as 8 minutes. Find Cheez-It frozen pizza in your favorite grocer's frozen pizza section.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What operating system does a Chewy computer run on?
I believe it's a Cat 14.
It's a COS. It's a Chewy operating system.
I was thinking Windows 98.
Yeah, very similar.
It's dial-up. Let me get my modem.
Chewy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy at Tony Wendorf & Associates, First Weber Group. They believe in the human side of real estate. Faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win. No matter if it's buying or selling, get started today at wendorfteam.firstweber.com.
That's right. It is a Wendorf Wednesday. 800-990-3776 is the Car Blues Talking text line. Couple of texts here, Chew, talking about a number of different things. You took a shot at Gen Z. We were trying to help you figure out the best way to cook a turkey since you are going to be back for Thanksgiving here in a couple of weeks. And Josh and I were also trying to delicately try to help you out without trying to get on your wife's bad side. And Augie from Fredonia does, again, he calls us out here, Josh, and I think we kind of deserve it. Gabe and Josh, for not wanting to go on the record and telling Chew, what did you just do and what did you just tell Chew to do? Yeah, okay, look, I understand. We're trying to help our guy out in the best way possible. Yeah. All right, there might be a little hypocrisy in the way we went about it.
I just don't think people know how scared we are.
We were trying the most delicate way to not just sit at silent microphones. That's what I'll say. Our job is to speak. We were doing our best to do it.
You guys, why do you guys get so deeply uncomfortable when I put you on the spot like that?
Because I know she's listening and she has spies.
Yeah. I know she's not listening.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there is a spy somewhere that is. And I don't want to be on. Again, I have seen the wrath of your wife. I have seen it in person. I have heard about it. I have seen the interns that she has scared at the old Wisconsin Sports Awards. I want no part of that in my life, Chew.
You've never felt the wrath. Though. Yeah, that's the problem.
And I don't want to. I'm trying to avoid it.
But Josh, if deep frying a turkey is an eight, what's smoking it?
I'd say it's around the same. It depends on how you prepare it and how good the smoke is.
I've never had a deep fried turkey.
Very good.
It's lush.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about it, Gabe, it only takes like 45 to 50 minutes to cook. Now, Andy Reid told me back in the day the best way to do it is with a Weber grill and do it with charcoal, but it takes a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're ostensibly smoking.
Yeah, you're similar to smoking.
Yeah.
Do you have to inject it when you smoke it?
You don't have to.
No.
You certainly can.
So the way I've done it when I've smoked a turkey previously, Chew, I kind of have it sit in a brine in my refrigerator overnight, typically.
Okay.
And then I'll take it out. I've got some seasoning I put on there. I've got like kind of a, it's like a bourbon maple glaze that I'll put on there. Then I'll put it out on. When I smoke it, I spatchcock it, so it's kind of your splitting the breastbone.
What the hell is spatchcocking?
I was explaining it to you.
Yeah.
The breastbone so it tries to, it lays as flat as it possibly can.
Oh, so it's like butterflying it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very similar.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So,
how you're doing it this Thanksgiving? You're smoking it?
So last year I had to smoke a turkey because. We didn't do a big Neitzel family one for the first time in forever. So my parents came down to Milwaukee and I did one, but now we're going back up to Horicon this year. So my grandma is taking care of the turkey. I don't have to worry about it this year.
All right.
Don't have to worry about it.
How much do you trust yourself, Chewy, with the deep frying and making sure you don't have the classic boil over start a grease
fire? I've done
it
before.
Okay.
I do it right out on the, asphalt.
Cause there's one thing I know about you and you're not the biggest like patience guy.
No, but I've probably deep fried. Well, it always goes back to the one time we set Brett's parents' deck on fire, but that was on him, and it was a bad fire.
See, yeah, it seems like I was on the right path, but maybe you learned from previous mistakes.
Well,
you'd like to think, but can't be.
I mean, I'll just throw this out there: we were drinking beer at the time.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't
and
realize
we were
you guys
doing,
did that.
I forget what the hell we were cooking, but it was...
He got out of control fast?
Yeah, a little bit, you know. But who has a cedar deck these days? I mean, I don't think composite's going to burn too bad, right? At it least, might melt.
I was going to say, it'll melt.
Yeah, it'll melt.
For sure melt.
Yeah. It'll melt. Mm-hmm. Also, Colin texting in because you took a shot at Gen Z, asking if Gen Z was the cheapest generation out there. On the Carblues Talk and text line, Colin saying, Gen Z here, we're not the cheapest generation. We're just poor.
Yeah. I was going to say. That's...
Yeah, well, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
The frugality and lack of resources go hand in hand here.
Well, but again, Gen Z is at that age. Like, when I first got out of college, I didn't have any money.
Right.
I mean, that's just how it goes.
I think if we compare the numbers, though, at similar times, they are...
It's not going to be great.
Yeah.
Not going to be great for Gen Z.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to stay out of that conversation.
That's fair. We do have to dive into all things NFL. We do that with our guy, Adam Schefter. He joins us next on a Wendorf Wednesday.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And Joshy's biggest fan.
It's nice to see Josh at the big boy table. Thank you, everybody. Keep up the good work, Josh.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino, Tony Wendorf and Associates, and Smart 18 Union.
And our conversations with Adam Schefter here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by our friends at Tony Wendorf and Associates. Just like the moves made in the pros, Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group, helps people make their own big moves every day. Trusted knowledge, superior service. They're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. Talk to Adam Schefter each and every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Schefty. How are we doing today?
What is going on, guys?
Well, we were just trying to give Chewy the best tips. He's coming back to Wisconsin, and so now they're doing Thanksgiving up here. He's now responsible for the turkey. Do you have any turkey tips for him? I don't know what you're responsible for at Thanksgiving at your household, Adam, with the NFL obviously playing that day. And really during the NFL season, you don't really get an off day. But is there anything you do for Thanksgiving that you're responsible for at your house?
When you said turkey tips there, I think of turkey tendons. We have four dogs, and we give a lot of turkey tendons to our dogs.
Well, I brought up, Adam, have you ever had a deep-fried turkey?
Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah, my wife kind of poo-pooed it, so I'm kind of looking for maybe another direction to go. The boys suggested smoking a turkey, which I've never done before.
So
I'm a turducken guy. I'm a turducken guy, Adam. But yeah, no one...
Are you back in Green Bay now? Where are you right now?
I'm in Florida.
Okay, and when are you going back to Wisconsin?
Saturday.
Okay, and you're staying through the holidays. So how come you're going back if you don't mind me asking?
Personal matter. Okay. I have my sister-in-law's really sick, so.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Heading back. Well, yeah.
So you'd be, in Wisconsin for the holidays. There you go.
Yeah.
And we got to get some turkey going here. Okay.
Have you ever had Have you ever had turducken, Adam, in all your travels?
I don't think I have. It doesn't stand out to me. You know, I'd be open to trying it. I'm sure I'd like it, but I don't think I've ever had it, Chewy.
It's, what is it? It's a duck inside of a chicken inside of a turkey.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds fantastic.
It sounds like a chocolate mousse with like dark chocolate, milk chocolate.
Oh, so okay. Now I think we just got an answer there. We just got an answer, Chewy. Shefty's a dessert guy. He'd fit in at the Neitzel family Thanksgiving, Shefty. We got more desserts than we got sides and main dishes. Everybody's bringing desserts.
Adam, I'd rather cook ribeyes for everyone. I am not a turkey guy. I think turkey is low on the scale. If it was so good, they would serve it at restaurants, which they don't. So,
you know what? I'll say this. I love turkey sandwiches for lunch, but I'm not a big turkey for dinner.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
There you go. So, you know, turkey sandwiches for everybody, Chewy.
Hey! I love Wonder Bread. Adam, what would...
Cheese, lettuce, mayo. Everybody use sandwich. Shut the hell up, right?
There we go. Adam, what was your takeaway from Monday's game?
Disappointing. Like, honestly, to lose back-to-back home games, you're in a stretch of the season there where you think when you're playing home, you're going to come away with two wins. You just think that. That's how you have to think. And they didn't. They came out 0-2. And now the Bears are sitting there with the same record. The Lions are out in front. They're in a conference that's loaded. Would they be in the playoffs this morning? I don't think they would be, right?
They would be. They'd be the 7th seed. They'd be number 7, just barely ahead of the 49ers. That tie doing a lot of work right now, Shefty.
Yeah, well, it's not a simple thing to do. It feels like they're squandering some opportunities. They should be better than they are right now. You look back, like you lose at Cleveland, you lose to Carolina. Mm-hmm. Just win what you're supposed to win. Just do that. Just do that, and life's a lot easier, right?
Well, this game they've got coming up against the Giants, I think a lot of people would look at it that way, but with those losses, I don't think you can take that for granted right now if you're the Packers. But you tweeted out some important news about the quarterback position earlier this morning when it comes to the Packers' opponent of the Giants, Shefty. What's going on there?
Jameis Winston is set to start at quarterback Sunday for the Giants. Wow. Now, I will say this. If I'm the Green Bay Packers, I don't like that.
Neither do I.
I don't feel good about that. I don't feel good. Jameis, one game, Jameis, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. You know, and how is it described to you? I'm just trying to think. In one of his previous stops, I was talking to one of his coaches, and I'm like, because every time I watch Jameis, I think the guy's impressive. I'm a Jameis fan. And I said to a coach who had him at one point, I'm like, why does he not play more often? And it was something like, I'm trying to remember the exact answer. It was like, he's 50-50, or he gives the other team just as good a chance as he gives you. It was something like, you know, the way he throws picks sometimes. And that's the Packers' hope here, that you hope you get a couple of bad Jameis throws that you take advantage of. But, this is not a great setup for the Packers. You got a head coach who's fired. The team, you know, will react in some sort of way. You got an interim head coach trying to make his mark. You got Jameis Winston back on the – like, there's a lot of variables there that I think make this a tougher game than it would have been 2-3 weeks ago.
So, Adam, if this thing does go south, and I don't – for Green Bay, and I don't think it will. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I just don't think it'll go south. But if it does, is there a Ben Johnson out there that's going to be a lead candidate for head coaching job?
You're already firing Matt LaFleur there, Chewy?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of chatter, right, Gabe? I mean, people are not happy here. And I'm just saying, if they miss the playoffs – I mean, who knows what happens now? Ed Policy has said, look, you're not getting an extension. So I don't know what the hell is going on. And I think a lot of Green Bay Packer fans are in that same position.
Well, I'll say this, that if we go back to when Ed Policy took over, I haven't fact-checked this, so I'm talking off the top of my head, like a various conversations I had with a lot of people over the summer. But I believe LaFleur and Goody both have 1 year on their contracts after this year. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. And I believe that in the past, the Packers typically have extended coaches, general managers, with 2 years left in their contracts. I believe that that's true.
I believe that is also correct, yes.
Okay. So we now have a history that hasn't been followed. We have LaFleur and Goody headed into, like, you're not going to have, you're just, here's the deal. You're not going to have your head coach and GM going into the last year of their contracts. You're just not. So either you're going to extend them or you're going to let them go. But to have a lame duck coach and GM, that's not productive for anybody. Mm-mm. For anybody. That's not a good idea. So if the Packers fall short of the playoffs this year, you can, like, I was surprised after the game on Monday night. I know they lost, and it's their second straight loss, and I know the last 2 weeks have been disappointing, as we've said. I was surprised how much speculation there was about Matt LaFleur's future. Like, I was like, wow, we're 10 weeks into the season. We're headed into week 11, and it felt like open season on Matt LaFleur. That surprised me a little bit. Now, I'm not telling you it's wrong or invalid, and we're raising the point here. I guess we're answering the question. Something's going to be done one way or another, mm-hmm. because they are going to be lame ducks. So it is relevant. It's always jarring to me to talk about the security of a coach in season, especially one that has had great success. So it's just a lot, but I understand why it's happening.
Adam, do you think the Giants did the right thing in letting Dabble go?
Dable.
In season? Dable?
Listen, I never like coaches being let go in season. Mm-hmm. To me, like, just season play out. What do you accomplish now? But I'll explain to you why I believe they did it. Here's a team that essentially had four double-digit leads on the road this season and lost all four games.
In the fourth quarter.
They should have won at Dallas earlier in the year. They're up double digits, and they let the game get away. They went to New Orleans. They had a double-digit lead on the Saints. They should have won the game. Instead, they had five turnovers and lost. They went to Denver and with one of the all-time debacles that we've ever seen and somehow lost a game that, what were they, 24-0 or whatever it was in the fourth quarter? Like, it was incredible. I don't remember. It was wild. Like, that sort of result has never happened. And then last week, they're up double-digit 10 points against the Bears in the final minutes and lost the game. So I think that the owners lost faith in the coaches. And on top of that, the most important asset that that team has is its young quarterback, Jackson Dart. And he has been in the blue medical tent this year four separate times to be evaluated for concussions. And then after he goes in the tent on Sunday and is evaluated, you run him on a quarterback sneak on the first play back. Like, not a great look.
No.
Whether it's HVAC, sheet metal, or welding, Smart 18 members are trained to be the best in the business with top-tier wages, unbeatable benefits, and a lifelong career support. It's not just a job, it is a career. Learn more at smart18.org and start building your future today. And where I come down on the LaFleur stuff, Shefty, like, I understand the frustration. I mean, he's the one who's calling the plays, and they had back-to-back games where if you score just two touchdowns in each game, you're going to be walking away winners in both those contests, and they were unable to do so at home. But also, like, Matt LaFleur is pretty well respected around the league. If the Packers, let's say they do miss the playoffs and decide to move on from LaFleur, I got to imagine he would be a top head coaching candidate, and he'd be scooped up pretty quick, right?
I agree with that. I agree with that. And that's always the interesting thing. I think when you look at this, you know, I was talking to some college people yesterday. We were going over the openings at the college level, and they're like, I think there are seven openings at big schools, six or seven.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And the person said to me, and this person's plugged into the college scene, they said, who are these schools hiring to fill those jobs? Who do they think they're getting? And I would say that the same thing is true at the NFL level. Let's just say there are the usual 5, 6, 7 openings at the NFL, and there already are 2 in Tennessee and New York. Who do these teams think they're going to hire? And I think that if the Packers parted ways with LaFleur, I'd feel very confident that he'd get another head coaching job. And I think there are other head coaches out there where the same is true right now. Like they would vault to the list of amongst the top candidates available because I think teams are looking for experience. So, and if you're Green Bay and you decide to make that change, let's say, let's play it forward. Green Bay does fall short and they don't make the playoffs. And they decide, you know, or they're thinking making a head coaching change. I think when you do that, I think you have to have a sense of where you're going to go to get a guy that you believe is going to be a better head coach than Matt LaFleur. Who's that going to be? Can we get him? How is that going to happen? And if you believe that there's a guy out there, then you make the move. And if you don't, then you don't.
Man, it seems like to me, Adam, by the way, that you just described exactly what New England decided to do last year. Like, they knew Vrabel was out there. They decided Vrabel was their guy, and now you're seeing that play out in New England this year.
Well, yes. That was an obvious one, though.
Yes. Okay. Correct. Yeah, and I don't know if that exists in this head coaching cycle.
Yeah, but let me ask you this.
I remember speaking to people in the Patriots organization initially, and they're like, oh, Gerard Mayo's doing a nice job. Like, he's doing a nice job. Why would they do that? Why would they? I'm like, well, we'll see. You know, like, we'll see what they do. And they ultimately decided that Vrabel would be the guy. And by the way, you know, it's not just Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel's a great head coach. He's a great head coach. Mm-hmm. But Mike Vrabel had an offensive coordinator in waiting, Josh McDaniels, who wasn't getting another head coaching job. And his family lived in New England. And it was the perfect guy to work with their young quarterback. So really, every part of it was perfect. Okay? So I don't know that that perfect scenario exists for the Green Bay Packers.
Well, let me ask you this, Adam. If Halfley continues to coach the defense, who's playing unbelievable like they are, he'll become a candidate. And in talking to Ron Wolf years after he retired, he said one of his biggest regrets was letting Andy Reid go to Philadelphia because he didn't have head coaching experience.
Well, you know what? You raised a great point. Let me say this right now. I believe Jeff Halfley is going to be an NFL head coach. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I believe right now, if we're going to stretch this out further, it's funny. Somebody called me yesterday, an owner of an NFL team. And they said to me yesterday, they go, hey, who are the Giants going to hire as a head coach? And I said, I don't know right now. I don't know if they know. And he goes, do you have any names that you think could be on the radar? And I said, one name that I think is interesting here, and this is what I said to him, is Jeff Halfley, considering his jersey ties. And he goes, I'm so glad you said that. I was calling to tell you that Jeff Halfley would be an amazing choice for the Giants. And I just want you to know that. Random owner. Wow. Okay?
That's interesting.
So that answers your question, Chu, when it comes to Jeff Halfley. Shefty, we always appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again next Wednesday.
Guys, big week for the Packers here.
I hate that it's a big week suddenly for the Packers. I'm scared. really didn't think there's going to be a big week, Shefty, 2 weeks ago.
Wait, interesting week for the Packers and for Chewy as he makes his Thanksgiving choices. Like I said, Chewy, you can't go wrong with turkey sandwiches.
I'm leaning that way, Adam. Thank you.
Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, joins us every Wednesday here on Jed, Gabe, and Chewy. And he's brought to us by the Island Resort and Casino, a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today. Really interesting what he just said there about Jeff Halfley. We can dive into that next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah, you want some sort of alone. Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
It's just necessary.
You follow
like,
me?
You don't want to just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Tony Wendorf and Associates. I knew he was a head coaching candidate, Chew, but hearing Adam Schefter say what he just said to us, and again, if you happen to miss the interview we had, it's going to be up shortly on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Adam Schefter saying a random owner called him yesterday just to tell him that he thinks that Jeff Heflin would be a good head coach for the Giants specifically, I think is really interesting.
Sounds like there's a good chance he won't be around next year.
Yeah, I think we were kind of preparing ourselves for that mentally going into the season, and then they get Micah Parsons and they play the way they did the first two games. But outside of the Dallas game, this defense has kind of played very similarly to what they did in the first two games. The offense hasn't lived up to their end of the donkey, you know, especially the last two games here at home. Yeah. And I know we've gotten a couple of texts here, like Justin in Jacksonville. This is just the latest in the line of a lot of texts we've gotten on the Carbos Talk and text line. If the Packers let go of LaFleur at the end of the season, I think they give the job to Heflin. And I guess I just don't. I understand why a lot of people feel that way, or at least hope that that ends up being the case. I just don't think that's what's going to ultimately end up happening. Because very rarely, Chew, and I guess if you can think of an example, you can let me know. And I know, obviously, there was regret that you brought up from Ron Wolf about not giving the job to Andy when Holmgren left for Seattle back in the late 90s. But I feel like if you're moving on from the staff, you're moving on from the staff. Like, you just want, it doesn't matter that LaFleur's the offensive guy. Like, you just want new guys everywhere, right? You just want all the new ideas because things had gone so far south. There are very rarely times where you go, yeah, the head coach isn't, but we're going to give it to the OC. I know Dallas has done that maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
I think that's the way it played out with Jason Garrett. Man. But
if they finish off top five and then you go and get a Brian Daboll to run the offense, who's been
he's a really good offensive mind,
very good offensive coordinator.
Just because you fail as a head coach doesn't mean you weren't good at your previous job, and he was a very good offensive coordinator in the NFL.
If Andy did get the job, you know, he probably wouldn't be there today because very few coaches, even though, I mean, Tomlin's the one that comes to mind, but most of them move on at you're looking at 20-something
because
years ago.
And Andy was super successful at Philadelphia, but a lot of times, your time just, it comes to a close, right? Like, Andy wasn't, his message, whatever, it just kind of soured, and it was best for both that Andy moved on from Philadelphia when he did, and obviously gets the Kansas City job, and he could build his career to a Hall of Fame status. I will say this. If Andy would have gotten the job instead of Ray Rhodes, and then obviously instead of Mike Sherman, who came right after that, I think Brett wins another Super Bowl.
I agree. And the concern then was, and it's probably still a concern now, that, you know, these, like, Ben Johnson's never been a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a learning curve there.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But Heflin's been a head coach at the college ranks at BC, and they overperformed. Look, BC is not going to finish top 10 in the country. Just not gonna happen, you know, but he overperformed.
Sure.
And he has that experience. So that learning curve kind of goes away, because there is a learning curve. Being a head coach there's a lot of hats you got to wear.
What do you think the biggest difference is between, because you've talked about, you know, obviously making that jump and how difficult you thought it was from college to the pros, and how that was even more difficult than the high school to college jump as a player. What do you think is the biggest difference between being the college head coach and an NFL head coach?
Managing time. I mean, you're pulled at in so many different directions, and there's a lot.
Is it easier to manage time?
There's a lot more problems, Gabe, because when you're giving guys millions and millions of dollars, along comes that. With that is a lot of problems.
Is it easier to manage time, though, as an NFL head coach? Because in college, again, wink, wink, nod, nod, there's supposed to be a limit of how much because they're student athletes, right? There's supposed to be a limit on their time, even though a lot of places blow past that time.
Yeah.
But as a professional, and there's millions of dollars, there's a lot more egos, there's a lot more things. But I feel like managing the time would be easier at the NFL level because literally all you have to worry about is football. You don't have to worry about all the other things.
I mean, the press really isn't the same in coverage at Boston College it is in Green Bay.
It's fair.
So you have to deal with a lot more. And they say when it comes to coaching, the best day you're ever going to have is the day you're hired. It's all downhill from there, you know, because things are under the microscope, especially today. You know, the fans are much more knowledgeable, I believe, today than they were back in my day just because of all the outlets you have where you can really do a deep dive and look at the game from a game plan standpoint. So, I mean, it's tough. It's hard. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure in both, but obviously being in the NFL, it ramps up that much more.
Jeff in the 920 chiming in on the Cardinals talk at text line. There's no way the Packers should let Halfley walk this season. It's going south in a hurry. If they lose this week, Matt is going to be fired immediately or should be fired immediately after the game. Put the DC in charge. See what happens. I doubt that LaFleur gets fired in season.
No, I agree.
But even if
no
they
one
lose,
to take his place.
I guess Halfley would be the guy. And
no. I'm saying offensively from a play calling standpoint. Just don't think Ed Policy is going to be comfortable with Luke Getsy calling plays.
Yeah, And to go back to what Shefty said, how many times has a team fired their coach and it's actually saved their season in the NFL?
Who do you think the owner was? Could it have been the Giants?
I don't think. I don't think anyone from the Giants called and said, hey, I think Halfley would be good for us. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean, it's one of 30 teams because I think I don't think Ed Policy, he's not an owner, right?
Well,
so the Packers don't have an owner. It's not the Giants.
Gabe,
so you narrow it down to one of 30 teams.
Let me ask you this. Actually, let me tell you this. The last head coach they hired from Boston College was pretty successful. Pretty successful.
Who is that?
Won him 2 Super Bowls. Coached me.
Oh, okay. Tom Coughlin. Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Look, yeah, I think we should all prepare that Jeff Halfley is not going to be here next year.
I think
we can start mentally preparing for that. And again, we'll see whether or not the Packers elevate him to head coach would all depend upon how and why if this offense comes together, which we are going to dive into in 2 minutes. More on the Packers offense coming up on a Wendorf Wednesday on Jen Gabe & Jude.